Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saint sincerity and stupidity.
I want to point out that you asked Kevin a football question just now, and I feel like I was in bizarro world where he
knew the schedule.
He had knowledge of the next two opponents.
Kevin, did you watch the game?
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour podcast. Well, I don't know quite where to begin tonight's show.
I'll tell you where to begin. The Saints are 6-1, baby.
Well, I mean, I feel like they're 6-1, and they're sowing their oats, because whenever the Saints are doing things that media and other fan bases find offensive and classless, I know that we're getting close to peak Saints. Hashtag we make the rules, pal. And they were making fun of Tariq Cohen being a midget, which is just so saintsy. It was just fantastic. But Andrew, I'm going to start with you. They went 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. It's probably his last start because Drew Brees is a lunatic and he's going to play against Arizona.
I don't know that I agree with that. But anyway, continue.
Let's say that
Brees,
it is
Brees
his last
who?
Start. On the I can't believe that shit just happened regular season moments, where does Teddy Bridgewater going 5-0 rank?
Remember when we were begging for 3-3? I mean, you could probably pull the audio where we were just talking about this. And look, if he can just, you know, tread water, go 3-3 during the six game stretch, just find a way to go 500. Maybe the division will be bad enough that Sean Payton will have Drew Brees back, and we can kind of get on a run there at the end with Brees back and right the ship and win the division. But, you know, the opportunity to have a bye is gone. We're just going to have to win the division and play in the division, you know, in the wild card round. And the opportunity to have home field advantage is gone. And here we are, 5-0.
I mean, I love that, like, when I'm listening to national media, mainstream media, whatever you want to call it, but I'm so happy that people are talking about us in the same sentence as the Niners and the Packers, as those are probably your top three teams in the NFC. And it's so crazy that we are in this position, considering where we thought we were going to be the second Aaron Donald high five Drew Brees in week two. Let's just talk about the Drew Brees thing for a second. I see no reason for Drew to come back next week. I feel like you gain very little by rushing it. You know, just sit out one more week. Teddy's got things under control. Sit out one more week.
Disrespecting the 3-3 Arizona Cardinals. That's what that is.
And just come back after the bye and make sure you're healthy. That's my personal opinion. I do not want Drew Brees. I cannot believe I'm saying this. I don't want Drew Brees to play next week.
What?
I want fucking Teddy
Bridgewater
to play.
I think that's how all Saints fans feel.
Crazy pills!
I think there are very few Saints fans that, even the ones that hate Teddy, you know, I think even if you hate Teddy and you're convinced that he's awful, that he should never play again after Brees comes back, and I feel like there's still some fans out there that feel that way. I think they're at least being level-headed about the fact that, hey, there's a bye on the other side of this Cardinals game. Bridgewater can win this game. He's at home against the Cardinals.
With amphetamines.
Bridgewater can find a way to win this one. And, yeah, that's not to slight the Cardinals, who have been on a little run here recently. But I don't think anyone wants Drew to rush this back and maybe cost themselves some time when the Saints can just get through this game. It's, you hope to win. It's kind of okay if you lose. And then you've got a bye week. That gives him three more weeks to recover. So I think most people want Breeze to sit.
Well, here, Kenneth asked an important question. I just want to know if I can play the background music while Andrew inducts Sean Payton, Bridgewater, and Gardner Johnson into the ring of honor at halftime this week. Because, Andrew, you said if the Saints got to 14, they should – put Sean Payton in the ring of honor.
I said two offensive touchdowns. But, dude, they missed two field goals, and there was just a bogus flag that called back a punt. Well, we're talking about how the Saints hung 50 on the Bears in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, and Ted Ginn dropped a touchdown. I mean, if you'd have told me that Ted Ginn was going to drop a touchdown, the Bears were going to run back a kickoff for a touchdown, and the Saints would miss two field goals in the first half, I'd have been like, they are fucked in Chicago. They are going to be good and fucked, and they're going to lose this game like 20-6, and we are going to be hella mad come Monday night. And Dave, all of it happened, and it didn't matter at all.
Hold on. What if I told you the Bears ran seven times for 11 yards, though?
Right. Seth Galina, friend of the program, he did a breakdown of Trubisky doing an RPO and just doing it so badly, and it's comedy, and Twitter liked it so much they put it in their like featured thing, and he like it's got like 3,000 likes or whatever. It's fantastic. Trubisky is a garbage truck. And I can't believe people on ESPN are saying, well, Teddy Bridgewater, I wouldn't give him a long-term deal because he doesn't make anybody better. I'm like, the Bears would kill for Trubisky to be as good as Bridgewater. I mean, Ryan Pace is low-key terrible at his job. But
the Bears traded up to get Trubisky.
They traded up for him. It's like Deshaun Watson? Nah. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes?
No.
We want Mitchell Trubisky, the guy who started four games at North Carolina.
Yeah, and it's not like he was good in college.
No, he was fucking terrible. And that's why but the Irish pamphleteer quarterback
guy. They rushed him back. They should have started Chase Daniel. I mean, you could tell he couldn't lift his left arm all the way up with that harness. When you're dropping back to throw, I mean, you still have to lift that left shoulder. Like, you could just tell it was affecting his accuracy.
Chase Daniel, he's a legend at the bank, but no team ever trusts him to do anything.
It's true.
So, Dave, Mark Ingram, we all know, longtime listeners of the show, that Mark Ingram was your boo.
Mark who?
Mark Ingram.
Who?
So do you have a new – is Latavius Murray your new boo now? Is it official? Who? Are y'all dating?
Who is this Mark Ingram you're talking about?
Have you ever heard of Lil Jordan Humphrey either?
Hey, he got in there a little bit. I saw him doing – somebody added me on Twitter, at me on Twitter, and showed me his blocking on Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, was he at the game yesterday? I don't recall seeing him except on those commercials.
Lil Jordan was very fortunate not to get flagged for a hold on that play.
Yeah, totally. Latavius, Latavius and I, we've started seeing each other on the side a little bit. And things have gotten kind of serious. I like him. I think he likes me. And we're taking it slow. We're gonna see where it goes. You know, we don't want to rush things.
We don't want to put a label on it.
Yeah. Well, look, I called it. I think we already talked about this on the post game show, but I have been talking for weeks about how I think Latavius Murray should have been given more of a chance, and that he should have been used like Mark Ingram was getting used with Kamara. They could definitely have a 1-2 punch with these two, and hopefully now after this game, it's somebody, Peyton, Carmichael, whoever, somebody has seen the light, and we can get back to business.
Well, Andrew, let's be fair. Ralph,
do you still have that sound clip of Happy Gilmore where he says, "I was wrong, you were right"?
Well, no, I was going to play this. This is what you thought of Latavius Murray.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
Yes, it's horrible, this idea.
We actually did a show.
I was wrong. You're right.
Yeah. Latavius Murray, he's good, man. I mean, he's...
I'm not very good looking. You're very attractive.
Yeah, so are you ready to officially declare that you were completely wrong about Latavius Murray?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, yeah, if it's just this one game and then it's back to what we've had all season. So, I mean, then there's the argument, like, is Sean Payton just not using him enough?
Does he
go back to sucking? Like, so, you know, there's two ways to evaluate that.
He never sucked. He just was never used enough.
It's fair. That's fair because he had the big play against the Texans.
He did. Yeah. At some point, though, if he's not playing, you have to start to ask yourself, why is he not playing? Does he not know the playbook? Why does Sean Payton not trust him? I mean, it could be as simple as they just think it's Kamara's time. But I've never seen this out of Sean Payton. I've never seen him just really go with one back and say, hey, this is my guy and I'm not really using anyone else. But that's the way it's been all season. And then in 15 years, that's the first time Sean Payton has really just doubled down on one guy.
Well, what was he going to do? Give the ball to Dwayne Washington? I mean, come on. Who else was going to get carries yesterday?
I hear you. But on some level, I'm a little surprised that Murray looked this good. Because it's like, like Dave said, it's like, why would Sean Payton hold out on this guy and not play him, especially when the offense has been so predictable going only through two players?
It's not surprising because it's the same thing that he did with Reggie Bush and Pierre Thomas. We've seen this fucking movie before. And by the way, shout out to Brian Pavick for coming up with Latavius Murray. I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
This is we've seen this from Payton. He's been slow to come around to either the running game in general or certain running backs.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, the thing is though, like CJ Spiller's knee was falling off. So it's, you know, it's that was part of it. But Andrew, part of it too was just the Saints offensive line just kicked the shit out of the Bears, especially in the second half. Now I know part of it was the Bears offense sucked so bad they didn't have the ball and their defense eventually wore down. But the Saints were whipping them from the get-go, and I felt early, like Dave said, I wish they would have run Latavius Murray more, and they were running Latavius Murray on those sweeps, which I don't like. I just like get him the ball and get him moving forward. Whenever they try to go around the side with him, it doesn't seem to work as well. So, anyway, what did you think of the offensive line play?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, pure and simple, you know. Yeah. Apparently we're having some audio issues
in the chat, not on the recording. But go ahead.
Okay. I thought the offensive line incredible. I mean, you mentioned Khalil Mack and how much he was struggling in that game to make an impact, especially in the passing game. I thought Bridgewater, he only took one sack, but I thought Bridgewater did an excellent job getting the ball out quickly. He wasn't as accurate maybe as some games, but he was taking some shots down the field, and I thought he was getting the ball out quickly, and especially the tackle play. I thought the pass blocking by Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk in particular, both were just awesome.
I thought there were a few plays where he was holding on to it a little bit too long. I don't know if I agree totally with that.
He only took one sack.
No, I know. I understand that. But I feel like there were a lot of plays where he, I don't know.
There were a couple scrambles where he was kind of tackled forward and like fell backwards right at the sticks. and those were both huge pickups.
Yeah, I mean, does Akeem Nix Hicks, whoever he is, does he make that much of a difference? I mean, he must make that much of a difference for the Bears in the interior. I felt the Saints just shove them around. Or is this a case of Andrew McCoy and the two guards maybe finally gelling together and hitting their stride?
No, I mean, I think even with Hicks out, the Bears are very solid front. They're a good defense. Allie just said that in the chat. The Bears have a great defense, and you can't take anything away from the Saints for the way they played offensively. And I just think so much of it, the way Latavius Murray was able to run the ball, I mean, give him a ton of credit. Really, you could just feel early in the game, he was getting 5 yards, 4 yards, just the way he was running, the holes he was seeing. He wasn't getting hit in the backfield. You know, you could just feel very early on in that game that the Saints are going to be able to be effective. And, you know, I think the pass protection was good for Teddy, too. And I think really both sides of the ball, the lines are why the Saints are so good. It's why they're winning with Teddy Bridgewater. The Saints up front on both sides of the ball are just better than any team in the league.
You know, Dave, I know you listen to the Ringer podcast, as do I. And
I was listening to it today on my way home.
And Robert Mays made a really great point, and it made me so happy to listen to it. He was impressed, but he was also angry at the Saints, I feel like, because he's like, the Saints have built this roster, and they have done so in a non-analytical fashion. Mickey Loomis, they just trade up, and he's like, everything they did was super high risk, and for their roster to be this good, every move they did had to work out. They traded 2 ones for Davenport. They traded up for McCoy. They've moved money around to create cap space. You know, they've done all these trades, and it's a high wire act. And if even just one of the things goes wrong, they're fucked because they wouldn't have room to make other maneuvers. And he seemed almost kind of mad.
Hold on a second. If one thing goes wrong, their Hall of Fame quarterback's been out for 6 weeks, and
that's
still
what
winning. I don't know that I subscribe to that.
Well, I mean, I guess he was talking about the moves in the offseason, like Davenport for 2 ones, trading up for McCoy.
Well, paying Teddy Bridgewater was one of those moves, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just delightful that the Saints have managed to do this, and it makes the stat nerds so mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, those guys, anything that happens where that goes against the, you know, the mathematical, you know, whatever, the statistical, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, I mean, they look at it from, you know, they look at it from an analytical standpoint, and so anything that deviates from that, it just blows their minds, and they just can't comprehend it. And that's just what happens. I mean, there are outliers. Shit happens sometimes, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, but I just found it.
And also, it helps. Like, I will let's also say that. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, and I have wood flooring, so I'll knock on it. But I mean, like, the Saints have been pretty lucky in the injury department and the health department, and all these people that you just mentioned—Davenport, McCoy, obviously our offensive line. You know, everybody has been healthy other than Drew Brees. It's kind of almost
they're just missing Tre'Quan Smith, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara. Anzalone's been out all year. Keith Kirkwood's been out all year.
Well,
they haven't been that healthy.
Okay, Kirkwood, whatever. Tre'Quan Smith, whatever.
Dude, they've been forced to play little Jordan Humphrey, who hasn't caught a pass all year because Kirkwood's out.
I still feel like I guess maybe it's a testament to how deep the roster is, because I feel like the guys that are still playing, that are taking those other guys' spots, those injured player spots, they're doing a hell of a job.
Except for little Jordan Humphrey.
Have you said
you know what? I haven't seen anything from Granderson since his one fluky sack. Okay, we're gonna put the F word on that shit, and we're gonna call that a fluke.
Yeah, but you already conceded defeat, so I think he feels like he doesn't need to do anything else.
I did. No, but I mean, seriously, you don't feel like we've – I mean, Kamara, I mean, he'll be back. And I just feel
But that doesn't mean they didn't go on the road and win without him.
No, they did. Oh, no, absolutely. But I feel like for the most part, they've been fairly lucky in the injury department. I don't know.
I guess that's the argument I'm making is I don't know that they have been. I mean, I think first of all, anytime you lose your quarterback, yeah, that's a death sentence for most teams.
Yeah.
Disagree. But yeah, I mean, but no, I think we're kind of disagreeing and agreeing. I disagree from the standpoint that I do think they've faced adversity. They have been missing some guys. They have been fortunate. I mean, you know, they just got the suspension of PJ. The Onyemata was suspended the first game. So they've missed some guys, but I just think this roster is so deep and so talented. They can deal with guys missing, and they've been able to deal with the adversity. I do think I would not say they've been more fortunate than your average NFL team. I just think they're better built to sustain and absorb it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, it's amazing how deep they are. The only place they're not deep is receiver. And Dave, at this point, I don't know what to say about Michael Thomas. He's on pace for 142 catches and 1,800 yards. And Andrew, we joked on our preview podcast, which, by the way, you should subscribe, $7 a month, $10 a month. You get a podcast every day. And Andrew's grades, which are posted. It's amazing. You should do it. But we talked about it that the Bears will shut him down and he'll have like six or seven catches for like 60 yards. He had 9 for 130. The Bears had no fucking answer for him, Dave. I don't know what to say more about
him
at this
point. Nobody has an answer. He's ridiculous. What does he have, like 700 and something yards in seven games? How many yards does he have total so far?
He's like
750.
Yeah. He's on pace for just under 1,800 and 142 catches, which would tie the record. I think Marvin Harris, the record's 143.
Yeah. I mean, he's ridiculous. He is ridiculous.
I mean, that throw at the end, which was a nice throw, his last catch where Teddy escapes the pocket and he kind of goes down the field, drops it in the bucket, and he just makes that over-shoulder catch. And he's double covered. There's two guys on him, and he makes that. That was just absurd.
Mitchell Trubisky couldn't have made that throw that Teddy made yesterday if you gave him 100 chances to do it. Not with that fucking, not wearing that harness.
I mean, Mike Thomas is definitely making Teddy's job a lot easier and helping him out. And a guy like Sam Darnold could really use a Mike Thomas right now.
I mean, going back to real quick to what you said about Chase Daniel, what does that say about Chase Daniel that Mitch Trubisky, who's incompetent when he's healthy, that the Bears would rather go back to him when he's compromised?
Chase Daniel, he's a legend at the bench. He's made over $40 million in his career and started like three games.
And based on that, how glad are we that Bridgewater is the backup for the Saints right now and not Chase Daniel?
I mean, I'm ecstatic. Here's the thing. I got into a rage argument about 2 weeks ago with somebody on Twitter. I had to literally put my phone down and walk away. They were arguing with me that Chase Daniel was just as good as Bridgewater and would be doing the exact same thing as Bridgewater. And I was like, I can't even deal with this stupidity. I have to walk away and like not argue with you. If you are going to tell me that Chase Daniel, who started like three games his entire career, can do what Bridgewater is doing, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, I can't argue with you. So, but that's a good point. I mean, the thing is, Andrew, I think Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be on the Saints roster next year because I just think Breeze is going to come back. I'm convinced that me and Dave have kind of agree on this, that Breeze is coming back next year, and somebody's going to pay Bridgewater. It's not going to be Nick Foles' ridiculous money, but he's going to get 3 years, $50 million from somebody. Like, you know, like Denver or Tampa or Cincinnati or Tennessee. Like somebody will pay him average starter money.
Look, I'm gonna throw out a couple names at you right now. Teddy Bridgewater right now in the league is the 11th highest rated quarterback in the NFL. Number 11, he's higher than Matt Ryan. He's higher than Tom Brady. He's higher than Lamar Jackson. He's higher than Philip Rivers. He's higher than Carson Wentz. He's higher than 6-0 OG. He's higher than Jared Goff. I mean, I know quarterback rating isn't like the measuring stick, but I mean, he's completing 68% of his passes. He's got 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. You know, I mean, you tell me. Are you saying that's not good enough?
No, you know, I'm thinking, as we're talking about this right now, and I'm thinking about this, you know, does this mean, like with Teddy playing the way he's playing, does this mean, as far as the offseason is concerned, like, do the Saints finally, like, maybe have some leverage with Drew Brees, against Drew Brees in contract negotiations? I mean, you know, every time Drew Brees has a contract up, I mean, it's always been, I mean, Drew's going to take the Saints to the cleaner. They're going to pay him whatever they need to pay him to keep him here. But I mean, now that they've got Teddy in their back pocket this offseason, can they go to Drew and say, you know what, you know, maybe we need to come down a little bit now. Otherwise, we'll just go with Teddy and we'll move on. And you don't really want to move to another city and play for another team for your last year or your last two of your career, do you? You don't really want to do that. So maybe you should just, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just, that just occurred to me right now as we're talking.
I think, so based on the way Bridgewater has played, and I think this game against the Bears, to me, cemented it. I think I felt this way before the Bears game, but you know, there were, in the back of my head, there was, okay, this is a good defense. What if he plays like shit in this game and the Saints get killed? Maybe, you know, then the narrative starts to be, oh, well, Bridgewater finally played a good defense on the road or whatever. But now that he's 5-0 and he just lit up the Bears, I don't think the Saints can have both guys on the roster next year. Like, I think that's a foregone conclusion. I think Bridgewater will be starting for someone. And so, absent Brees retiring, if Brees says I'm done, then we know how this all plays out, and it's pretty straightforward. The Saints pay Bridgewater in the offseason, and he's the quarterback moving forward, at least for the next couple years. But if Brees doesn't retire, they can't franchise him because that's the way his contract is structured, and he's a free agent, and so is Teddy Bridgewater. Now, the Saints can
trade it.
They can franchise Bridgewater, and they might. Because, but you know, then it becomes, if Brees says I want to play again, then I don't think the Saints really have any leverage because he's a free agent. So Brees is going to get paid by someone, and that's the
and
thing. Like
Brees detonates
the
their cap
just
too.
Won the Super Bowl.
Brees yeah, detonates their cap.
Broncos,
right?
He detonates their cap, and the Broncos just won their last Super Bowl was won by getting Peyton Manning. You know, so like the Broncos, they're not going to have any problems cutting Flacco and saying, yeah, 41-year-old Drew Brees will pay you whatever you want. You come here and you help us win a Super Bowl. You know, so I mean, I don't know what team it's going to be, but I'm just saying there will be a team out there that'll say, yes, we will take you. We will pay you whatever. So I think when you're competing against that, you have no leverage. You either have to pay Brees what he wants within reason, or he's going to have opportunities. So
If the Saints decide, or if they know that they want to move forward next year with Brees, would we be able to trade Bridgewater before the end of the season? I guess
you got a week. You got a week.
Yeah. Oh,
trade
yeah.
Bridgewater. No, I mean, the thing is, they can't franchise Bridgewater because teams would call their bluff if they tried to do that. They would be like, you know, if Brees wanted to come back, they're just going to have the Saints have a difficult decision, but it's a good thing because Bridgewater did exactly what they brought him in to do, which is save their season. If Drew Brees got hurt, he's done it to the above and beyond our wildest dreams. And that's a great thing, but it's a difficult situation they're in, and I just think
there's no way you can trade Bridgewater now, like
no.
Before the deadline. No way, because what if Brees' thumb is like, what if the surgery didn't work or whatever?
Yeah,
well, I think you would know that by now. No,
I don't know. I mean, you got to. He's got to get out on the practice field.
I mean, don't you think there's a very real possibility that, like, he's healed, but, like, he just can't do it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Oh, I mean, right.
Yeah.
Muscle memory.
Yeah, I mean, the way I understand it, and I'm not a doctor and I don't know the details, but the way I understand it, he has a splint, like, inside his thumb, like, inside his skin, I think. Like, I think he has some sort of contraption that helps support his hand and his thumb.
Is it bionic, though? But is it bionic? Because then he might come back and be even fucking better than he was.
Well, you can't discount that. There is that possibility.
Is it goat ligament? Is it a goat ligament stint?
But, no, I mean, I'm serious, though. Like, what if his mobility isn't the same and he can't? I mean, we were already talking about his arm strength. Like, what if this diminishes his accuracy and his throwing power by 5%?
I can't believe we've gone down the rabbit hole again.
Here's a horrible question, but I'm going to ask it. How bad would Drew Brees have to play against Arizona for us to go into the bye week and be like, he needs a couple more weeks? Let's go back to Teddy. He needs a couple more weeks. Like, how bad would he have to look? And by the way, Arizona, they give up 28 points a game and 270 yards passing, just so you know.
Wait, first of all, I want to go on record and saying I'm telling you right now, like you guys said before, the most Saintsy thing that's going to happen, Brees is going to come back and they're going to lose that game. There is no way that Brees comes back and the Saints win that game.
But he has to play awesome too. That's what would make it so Saintsy.
That's the cherry on top, but it's telling you it's going to happen.
But if he plays like shit, I mean, of course they're going to lose because, you know, right. If your quarterback plays like shit, you lose. But my thing is they're going to play Atlanta. Matt Ryan isn't going to be there. They're going to play Matt Schaub. And, like, everyone's saying the Saints are going to win by 500 because Brees is back and Matt Ryan's down. The Falcons are terrible. And Brees is going to throw for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns and they're going to lose. I'm telling you.
I'm circling.
My job is going to cook this defense who has stopped everyone. No one's been able to do anything on this defense. And Matt Schaub holds the keys, man. It's so Saintsy, it's unbelievable.
The game that I fear the most, Andrew, is the Thanksgiving game because I feel like Atlanta will be like 1-10 at that point, 1-11, and that'll be all they have to fucking play for on national TV, and that'll be the moment. Like the Saints will have won 10 in a row and Atlanta will have lost 9 in a row or whatever, and Atlanta will beat them and end up 2-14. Like that's the game I fear the most. But by the way,
I want to go back to the game real quick though, because people in the Saints are in the chat room are talking about this and it's making me think about it. What was crazy about this game is that the Bears fans and like how much they were booing their team, they knew that it was a blowout long before the score said it and long before we knew it, you know, and like their players on the sideline, they were down like one or two scores. It was like a 2 or 9 point game.
It got to 19-10 and Bears. It got to 19-10 and Bears Twitter lost their fucking minds. They were like, it's done.
And the players on the sideline, they looked like they had all just had their soul sucked out of them.
that's what quarterback play does thing. To you. It's like horrible quarterback play is like football cancer. You know, that's what it is. It just ruins everything, and it's a slow, painful death. Even if you have a good defense,
it was amazing.
So, I lost my. I was going to make a Ryan Pace joke, but I lost my train of thought.
Latavius Murray of all people just bled the life out of him.
Death by a thousand Latavius Murray paper cuts. That's what I was going to do. Dave, tell the people where they can gamble and bet money against Rutgers and win, 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 fucking win. Tell the people how to do it, Dave.
By the way, that actually reminds me that my buddy Patrick texted me this week and he took your advice and he bet on Rutgers and UConn. So he won on the Rutgers.
Not UConn, though.
No, he lost on the UConn. But anyway, I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I've got a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And between football season, the Major League Baseball playoffs, the World Series, and the start of the NBA and the NHL seasons, it's October. All the sports are going on. It's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. So use promo code SHARE to activate the offer. Oh, I'm sorry. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. And to activate that offer, use promo code SHARE. That's promo code SHARE to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Oh, and I, by the way, it's in the link on the podcast, and I did a mini pod crossover podcast with the Bird Calls people. Go to the link, register. You get a free T-shirt. Dave is going to print up T-shirts for you guys, and we're going to give my – and here's the thing. We're going to set up a table and
– my wife
will personally hand you your T-shirt, but you have to RSVP at the link. So RSVP, put in your name, your shirt size, boom, you're golden. You get a free T-shirt on us if you show up to the live show, Tracy's December 14th. It's going to be freaking amazing. I cannot
just a note my mom says she doesn't want a shirt. She doesn't need a shirt.
No, she doesn't need – well, the thing is she can take the shirt and then wrap up your inheritance and hand it back to me. I want – Miss Cariello, I want Dave's inheritance. I want it in small
dollar bills.
I need it. I need it in fives and twos because $2 bills are gold at the strip club. So I need that. Just fives and twos. That's what I want.
But she gets to be on Drunk Saints history, though, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Oh,
she has to be drunk though.
And here's the thing.
And she has to know something about Saints history.
It doesn't matter. I just want.
It could be drunk Dave history. She
yes,
tell
I just want embarrassing stories from Dave's childhood. That's all I want.
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing blue.
But the fun thing about the podcast now is, yes, we're all depressed about Zion. And yeah, Zion's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, but he'll be coming back right around when we have the live podcast. So the Pelican fans will be psyched. It's going to be amazing. They're playing the Colts that Monday, so it's just going to be great. We can't tell you. Just go there and sign up.
Apparently it's buffering again, Ralph. But, yeah.
That voicemail audio clip would be even funnier if the Pels actually didn't draft Zion with the first round pick. They drafted somebody else.
Yeah.
And then we just had that clip.
Well, it's starting to feel like maybe they should have drafted someone else.
Yeah.
I worry about Zion because he waddles
when
he walks.
The thing about the Pelicans is that I am – like the thing I hated so much about old Saints fans where they were negative all the time – I feel like I'm that with the Pelicans. Like, if for some reason I have become everything I despise about sports fans when it comes to the Pelicans.
I mean, we're kind of like, I feel with the Pelicans, I'm like, I'm late stage Hazlitt, where I expect it to go wrong, it goes wrong.
Yes.
And then I feel bad that it went wrong and I expected it to go wrong and I blame myself for being negative and kind of having it happen. That's where I am with the Pelicans. And I don't want to be that way, but I can't help myself.
Well, I don't even feel bad. I'm just I don't know. That's like the opposite of my Saints fandom. I just can't shake it. Like, they're snake bitten, man.
Damn.
And I'm at the point, I'm kind of like the Cleveland Browns. Like, don't overhype this for me. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't tell me to trust the process. Like, I'm not going to get excited until I see it on the court.
So, the Saints, the thing that's made 2019 so enjoyable is that the Saints winning with Teddy Bridgewater just raises it to another level. But Dave, the Falcons, every week, I think they can't go any lower and get any more enjoyable, and they just keep doing it.
Just to make it 28-3. Bryant knocks it through. Arthur Blank loving it, up by 25.
And yeah, here's the thing.
If the Dolphins weren't just so fucking terrible and throwing every game, then the Falcons might be actually the worst team in the league.
I mean, the Falcons were, of all the bad teams yesterday, the Falcons were one of the least competitive ones. And here's the thing that was the best, is somebody tweeted out a screenshot of it. It was the implosion of the Hard Rock Hotel. They split screen it. Half of it was the implosion of the Hard Rock. The other half was the Atlanta Falcons game.
That's
and they said,
I was
look,
watching.
Look, it's two implosions at once.
too soon?
Too soon, no. Hey, it's just, it's all in fun. But here's the thing, man. They lost Matt Ryan. They're going to play like 100-year-old Matt Schaub. Andrew, I think there's a really good chance that the Saints can put the sword to Dan Quinn. If they can hammer them at home in 2 weeks, or I guess 3 weeks, there's a good chance that the Saints will destroy them on Sunday and they will fire Dan Quinn. If the Saints could pull that off, where would it rank in your enjoyable Saints moments? That the Saints got an Atlanta Falcon coach fucking fired. Where would it rank? Because Bobby Petrino, he left after they played the Saints on the Monday night, but they didn't fire him. He just fled to Arkansas, so that doesn't count. But if the Saints could get Dan Quinn fired, where would it rank? I think for me, it would be pretty high.
Top five
regular season moment?
Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. we're talking about the coach that got the Falcons to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, getting him canned, I mean, I get that, like, a lot of Saints fans want him to stay based on the way things are going right now. But, I mean, he's probably the best coach they've ever had.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Falcons would be stupid enough to fire him after the Saints beat them and thus giving us ammunition and ability to trash talk when they could just like wait like one more week until they play somebody else and then fire them. Like, but they're so stupid that they would do that. They would give us that opportunity.
They would have to, I mean, for him to get fired after the Saints, it would have to be Andrew, it'd have to be 45-3. It has to be total humiliation, right? It can't just be lost.
It doesn't matter. You just, with this rivalry between the Saints and the Falcons, you don't do that. You don't fire your coach after the Saints kick your ass. You suck it up and you go another week and then you fire him after another team. You don't let Saints fans say, we fucked you so bad you had to fire your fucking coach.
Yeah, not going to work here anymore anyway. Yeah, Mr. Mike.
Don't. The Saints need to try to find a way to win this game 28-3.
Okay, you fire him if you do that.
That, I mean, if the Saints won 28-3 and they fire Dan Quinn on Monday,
they got to start punting.
If that happens, and the Saints win 28-3, and that they fire Dan Quinn, I will do this show without a shirt, and I will just hand out T-shirts to everyone in the chat room. It'll be glorious. Listen. That would be the greatest regular season moment in Saints history. I don't care whatever it would top Gleason in 2006 as far as I'm concerned, and that would be hard to do. So, Hey, before we get to
Buddy, you would be real disappointed if you not offering an order for us, by the way.
I could wear one of those placards, like people that stand on the corner to like advertise like car washes or different stores. I could wear one of those placards, and instead of advertising, somebody could just say 28-3 on it. let's see. Because we got a lot of good questions. Did anyone think someone wearing 56 would ever be as good as Pat Swilling, or dare I say even better? Where is DeMario Davis in the pantheon of Saints linebackers? That's from Still Living the Nightmare.
Well, it's funny that came up because actually Cam Jordan just passed Pat Swilling for third most sacks in team history this past week, which is unbelievable to think about. Like I just remember watching Pat Swilling as a kid, and that dude was an automatic sack half the time. And for Jordan to officially have more sacks as a Saint than Swilling is an unbelievable accomplishment. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a testament to Jordan and his consistency and him being with the Saints that long and getting double-digit sacks every year. That's another guy that I didn't necessarily think would have this kind of career, and he has. He's been awesome. So kudos to him. But, yeah, as far as Davis is concerned, I still put him behind Vilma. I still put him behind the Dome Patrol. So he's not there yet. I mean, let's remember that this is only the second half of his second season with the Saints. But we've really seen no bad stretches. He is awesome every week. His level of play is high. We talked about maybe a regression a little bit this year because of his age, and we weren't sure what to expect. He's as good as he was last year, if not better. We've talked about this, about how he's kind of become the face of the franchise a little bit with Drew out. I don't know that I'm ready to say he was better than Pat Swilling. I mean, Pat Swilling was defensive player of the year at one point.
From 86 to 92, Pat Swilling was fucking amazing. I think he had three double-digit sack years, defensive player of the year. I mean, and totally. The thing is, too, Pat Swilling, the Saints traded him off kind of at his peak. You know, they traded him off and it would ended up being Willie Rolfe was who they got for him.
I mean, I would say this is definitely he's the best linebacker they've had since 2009. Since Vilma in 2009, but to me, he's the best linebacker they've had in a decade.
This is a question from Patrick. If you really could make a Teddy Breeze and you could take one attribute from each, what would it be? Thanks, Patrick, for listening to the Victory Monday podcast with me and Dave, because that's a reference to me merging Drew Breeze and Teddy Bridgewater into one person and creating Teddy Breeze. But if we could do a Madden, Andrew, and create Teddy Breeze, what attributes would you take from both to make the perfect quarterback?
I mean, I would definitely take Bridgewater's height and scrambling ability over Breeze, I think. That's
would you take
probably
Breeze's
about
arm? Whose arm would you take?
Ooh, that's tough because Breeze. I mean, am I allowed to take Teddy's arm, but Breeze's base?
And Breeze's mechanics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could combine that somehow,
No, this is like Madden, though. So, like, you can take Breeze's accuracy with Teddy's, like, arm strength. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a hell of a quarterback. That would be, like, almost Aaron Rodgers-esque, but I think Breeze is better mentally than Rodgers, and puts the ball at risk less. So, Patrick, thanks for listening. I'm gonna have to pull that clip of me creating Teddy Breeze and use it as an.
I would also take Teddy's post-game locker room dancing ability. I would take that over.
Good
Drew.
Call.
Good call.
Yeah.
That's important. This is.
I would definitely take Breeze's wife over whatever Teddy is seeing or dating.
This is a good question, Andrew.
I would take only two of Drew's kids, though. I don't need any more than that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm good with two also.
Oh, and we need Teddy's shirt that it says Teddy Bear. Teddy, or what is it? Teddy, it's something, Two Glove Bear. He's got like a children's book.
Do we know anything about Teddy's private life? Is he married? Does he have kids?
I don't think he is. I know he rides
a bike.
He's
single?
He's single. He rides a bike to and from the home games, apparently.
So he really is about that bike life.
Yeah. If any of you in New Orleans, I know you disrespect bikers. If any of you injure Teddy when he's riding home, shame on you. Don't do it. Bigger long-term need, Andrew. This bigger trade need for this season, wide receiver, cornerback, or offensive line depth?
Yeah, cornerback is the sneaky need because you got Eli Apple in a contract year, PJ Williams in a contract year. Patrick Robinson is as good as gone. So you know, I think everyone's initial thinking is that's got to be a receiver, and I think it's fair to say that this offense needs a receiver, especially with Ted Ginn. I mean, I don't know if Ginn's going to be back next year. So receiver is a need big time, but it's interesting that corner was listed on that because when you look at the guys that are potentially leaving in contract years, what the Saints do there opposite Lattimore is going to be pretty important this offseason.
I will say this. It's funny to me that when Ted Ginn plays with Drew Brees, he's not normal Ted Ginn. But when Ted Ginn plays with any other quarterback, he reverts back to the full Ted Ginn experience where catches a bomb, drops two easy ones. It doesn't matter if it's Cam Newton, if it's Bridgewater, if it's whoever. But when he plays with Brees, that doesn't happen. I don't know why that is. But
Brees
it was
puts a magical spin on the ball.
It does. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it's the rotation of the ball, obviously. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we got the full Ted Ginn experience yesterday. Caught a bomb.
Brees throws a catchable ball, baby.
This is from Evan. If Andrew and or Dave.
Oh, hold on. Speaking of our little Jordan Humphrey bashing and our Austin Carr bashing, I want to point out that Dwayne Washington and Zach Zenner both now have receptions this season. Austin Carr and little Jordan Humphrey still do not.
I don't even know
Zach Zenner.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
They signed him on Wednesday.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Yeah, they signed him on Wednesday. We joked on Wednesday when he was signed. I said, isn't that going to be something if he catches a pass before Austin Carr and little Jordan Humphrey? And then it happened.
I believe you said when, not if. But
yeah,
I have to check the tape.
I did say that.
Evan wants to know, could any of us name every punt block of the Sean Payton era without Googling it beforehand? The only ones I can remember are Pierre Thomas, right?
Maudie's got a couple. Yeah, Thomas.
Pierre Thomas, Gleason, Maudie's got a couple. JT yep. Gray, obviously. Martez Wilson. No, Martez Wilson.
Ooh, I didn't.
It was in 2012. I don't remember if Martez Wilson blocked it, but he scored a touchdown on it.
Don't forget Zach Lyon.
Zach Lyon, yeah. Those are the only ones I remember.
Taysom Hill last year. He has two.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill had one against Tampa last year, but then remember the first time he played special teams, he blocked a punt.
Didn't they block? They blocked the punt in that San Francisco playoff game too, I want to say.
As special teams have been in the Sean Payton era, besides Morstead, overall, like I would say the special teams have been pretty bad in the Sean Payton era. They have blocked a lot of punts.
I can't believe the Saints special team. They managed to be a total disaster yesterday and still block two punts. Like, how is that even? If you said they blocked two punts, you'd be like, that's a great day for special teams. But nope, they were dumpster fire. Let's see. Can we officially declare Sean Payton's fuck you tour is real? And how bad do y'all think the Saints are going to punish the division rivals? I mean, I think Atlanta, look, we've talked about them. They're bad. But Dave, I think Carolina's good. Like, I know they haven't played anybody, but their defensive – they went into Houston and shut the Texans down. Their defensive front is really good. McCaffrey may die because they give him the ball 35 times a week. But when they get Cam Newton back, they're going to be good, right? They're going to be a 9-10 win team, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good. I mean, they've been playing well with Kyle Allen. They're kind of in the same situation as us a little bit. Maybe they don't want to bring Cam Newton back. But yeah, they're playing well. They're definitely the only team in our division that we need to be afraid of. We've already beaten Tampa Bay once, and we only play them one more time. The Falcons, that should be two wins right there. So, 12-4, 13-3.
I mean,
in play for sure.
Andrew, the thing is that worries me is you have San Francisco undefeated, and you have Green Bay at 6-1 also. Where do the Saints have to get a bye? Are they going to have to get to 13-3? You think to get a bye?
I don't know if the Packers can sustain this. And you know the 49ers. I mean, they still have the Rams in Seattle
twice.
So. Yeah, and the Cardinals are coming around a little bit, so I don't know that the 49ers, they're going to have some tough games. So, yeah, 13-3, I think, for sure. I mean, 12-4. If we're just talking about a bye, and I think 13-3 is probably what they're going to need to get to for home field, but 12-4 probably gets them a bye, I still think.
Yeah. They need 14-2 so I don't have to compliment Les East. That's what they need. All right, so let's get to the game. Today, Dave. It was off the board, on the board. I found it. Saints are favored by 9.5 over the surging Arizona Cardinals.
I don't like that at all.
That is a lot of points. Who you got?
If I was betting on mybookie.ag, I'd probably put my money on the Cardinals, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah, the Cardinals, what, they've won 3 in a row now?
Yeah, they're fun. I like to watch. Kyler Murray's fun.
I know you've since the beginning of the season you've been all about Kyler Murray. Are you coming in for this game? Didn't you want to come in for this game?
I can't come in. But he's tiny and he runs around and he's fun. I don't know if King.
Well, you know what the Saints players thinking about tiny little guys, don't you? We don't respect them. We don't respect them.
Are they going to pat Kyler Murray on the head like they did Tariq Cohen? Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be surprised if they brought out some Lucky Charms on the sideline for this game.
Look, I just want to point out real quick, too, for you Saints fans that hate Teddy Bridgewater. He beat the Giants last week by throwing for 104 yards. He was 14 of 21 for 104 yards in a win. He game managed the shit out of that game. So if you hate that style of play, I don't want to hear anyone on Twitter say anything about Kyler Murray being awesome if you dog Teddy Bridgewater. I don't want to see it.
True. Anyway, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is a good coach, but.
You went there. Anyway, Cardinals, they've got a lot of momentum. They're doing well. David Johnson, we don't know whether he's going to play or not. Cliff Kingsbury is also, he's really upset for your fantasy football team. He's sorry that he can't give you a better answer on David Johnson. He gets it. He used to own a fantasy football team, and he understands that you're frustrated about David Johnson, but we don't know what's going to happen with David Johnson. Saints are back home. 9 points, I don't know about that, but Saints definitely are going to win. I'm going to say... I'm going to say Saints 27, Cardinals 17. And player of the game is going to be Sheldon Rankins.
Ooh, interesting choice. Andrew.
Yeah, that is an interesting choice, especially since he's kind of come back down to life a little bit after that sack. I got to pick against the Saints again. It's 5 in a row, man. I keep 5 times in a row I've picked against them, and it's worked every time. So I got to stick with what's working. The Cardinals are going to come into New Orleans and beat the Saints 24-23, we'll say. You know, Sean Payton had an interesting comment in the offseason, you know, when they were asked about when he was asked about African-American coaches and why none of them had gotten jobs. And, you know, it was a big fad this offseason to try to find the next Sean McVay. And so a lot of teams went on this run where they were hiring a lot of young coaches that
LaFleur.
Yeah, that were good offensive coordinators, had maybe some offensive success, but didn't really show the experience or the ability to run a football team maybe. And so a lot of guys got jobs that were kind of surprising because everyone wants the next McVay. And Sean Payton really took offense to that. And he mentioned this offseason that, hey, that it's ridiculous that some of these guys are getting hired. They're not prepared. They're not qualified. You know, Jim McVay is a needle in a haystack. He is super unique, and you can't go copying the Rams and expect success just because they did it with McVay. And he was particularly really upset about the lack of opportunities for African-American coaches because he felt like there was a lot of guys that were ready, that have been waiting a long time, that are super qualified, would have been successful if given the chance, and were getting passed up. And so he said, and he finished that comment with, but it'll be to our benefit, and I look forward to coaching against those teams. And so it was kind of a shot across the bow a little bit of just like, hey,
he's going to pile drive. You're saying he's going to pile drive Kingsbury?
Well, I mean, he definitely, it was definitely shots fired. I look forward to playing guys like
former Saints quarterback
because,
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, because I'm going to run circles around you from a coaching standpoint. And so I found those comments very interesting, and he's going to have to put his money where his mouth is because that's, poster board material a little bit for Kingsbury. I think that'll motivate him going up against Payton.
I'm going to tell you how this game's going to go. It is going to be Teddy Bridgewater throwing 5 touchdowns, 350 yards, and just
I got to barbecue your ass, in molasses!
Just lighting the Cardinals, burning them to the ground. The Teddy Bridgewater experience is going to end on the highest of high notes. He's going to get the Saints to 7-1. We're going to go into the bye feeling amazing, and that's how this is going to go.
Maybe Man, if that happens, do you second-guess going to Drew?
Yes, I was just about to say that. If that happens, look, I'm going to get shit on again for this because I've said this before, but, I mean, if that fucking happens – it's the same reason, you know, if you don't take a pitcher out when he's throwing a no-hitter, right? You just keep going. Like, I believe this. I'm not saying Teddy's a better quarterback than Drew Brees, but you go with the hot hand. If he's winning, you're winning. You just keep going with it. You know, like I said, it's just like if a pitcher is going for a no-hitter, you don't just take him out or even say the word no-hitter. If you're so if you're the person who's so superstitious, you don't even believe in saying the word no-hitter when a pitcher is working on a no-hitter, then you should definitely be superstitious about pulling a quarterback who is fucking 6-0 while he's on a 6-0 run.
Well, it's funny, though, the Panthers have the same issue. Like, Kyle Allen hasn't lost.
That's what I was talking about before. This doesn't have to do with talent. This doesn't have to do with the talent of any of the four quarterbacks that we're talking about. It just has to do with it has to do with voodoo, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You just don't fucking do it, and you don't fuck with it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's some. I think if Bridgewater just has another like pretty decent game, then I feel fine about going back to Breeze, actually. But if what you described, Ralph, happens,
he
throws for 350 and 4 or 5 scores, then I don't know, man. All of a sudden, I'm like, well, they're 6-0 with Teddy, and I don't know exactly how Drew looks with the stump thing. And the thing is, like, the Panthers right now, it's a little different because Cam Newton could play right now. And they're choosing to, quote-unquote, keep him under rehab. Not because he can't play, but because they don't feel like they have to play him right now because they're getting such good play out of their backup. And so it's a little different in the sense that Breeze, really until this week maybe, he really couldn't play, right? So we were forced to play Bridgewater. We didn't have that conundrum. But we're about to get into that zone that Carolina's in now where are we going to have to start telling the media that Breeze is, quote unquote, not quite ready yet?
Yeah. I think Bridgewater's going to play. There's no reason to rush Breeze back.
We agree on that, but if he lights up the Cardinals, now we're talking about the Atlanta game.
Yeah. Well,
are you making the switch? If what you say happens on Sunday, Ralph, and they're 7-1, 6-0 with Bridgewater off the heels of his best game lighting up the Cardinals, are you switching to Breeze after the bye?
Yes, because you can switch to Breeze, and I think I could throw for 250 yards against Atlanta at this point. With my one good arm and my one good leg. Like, their defense is atrocious. It's the perfect time to switch back because you know Breeze is going to light them up.
This does feel a little – well, it's not like Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady because, you know, Bledsoe never really had the – I don't know. Has there ever been an example of this? Like a Hall of Fame quarterback that got injured, never really did bad before his injury – but then the backup was playing too good to switch back. Has this ever happened in NFL history?
No, the only I can kind of think of it is the 72 Dolphins. Like, Bob Greasy broke his leg and they played Earl Morrow and they kept on winning and he played all the way through. And then at halftime of the AFC Championship game, they were in Pittsburgh and they were losing and Don Shula switched back to Greasy and they won. And
yeah. I mean, I guess the Giants won a Super Bowl with Jeff Hostetler and when Phil Simms was injured.
But they didn't have to worry about going back because Phil Simms broke his leg. They didn't have to make the
I mean, there was Wentz and Foles, but yeah, they went back to. But I'm saying, like, the Giants and the Eagles both went back to the original guy after the season. So, like, Simms and Wentz both got their jobs back.
That's true. I just think they're, like, Breeze is getting his job back, but I just think Teddy's gonna light Arizona's. They're not a bottom four or five team like I thought they were 3 weeks ago, but they're still bottom six or seven, and Teddy Bridgewater's gonna light them fucking up. I know they have Patrick Peterson or whatever, but it doesn't matter. And their receivers are garbage besides Larry Fitzgerald, and he's 100 years old. So I just think the Saints are gonna
Well, cornerback is gonna be a thing to watch, because, you know, Eli Apple is probably out. PJ Williams is definitely out. Patrick Robinson also pulled his hammy in that game, so he might be out. So all of a sudden you're probably looking at Ken Crawley getting some playing time. You're probably looking at Gardner Johnson. He's probably going to stay at nickel because he's the guy that can cover the slot. And what I think the Saints are going to do is they're probably going to put Lattimore and Crawley on the outside. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And also, too, next week is the trade deadline. And before we get out of here, you want to sign up for the Daily Podcast because when the Saints – do whatever Loomis is going to do, and you know he's going to do some fucking something at the deadline, we are going to be the first podcast that's going to have reaction. I guarantee of that. So you want to be having access to the Daily Podcast. So do it. So this wraps up the show tonight. Kevin was MIA. Guys, I'm going to work on the audio. It's got to be something with either OSB or the program that I run for the live stream or my computer, but we'll try to get it straightened out for next week. But thanks for everybody for hanging with us in the live stream. RSVP at the link for the podcast for Tracy's December 14th. Do it and get your free t-shirt from
my live.
So for Dave, for Andrew,
buffer. We can't buffer when we're live.
Yeah. So for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.